Jonah went to the sea. He was swallowed up by this fish. Hashem completely controlled the situation. He wanted, that's what was. Everything's what Hashem wants. You're in the sea, you're not in the sea, you're this way, you're that way. Everything what Hashem wants. You saw before the Zohar said that the reason why it was 12 months. The 12 months is the Mishpat, that's the Gehenna for wicked people, 12 months. 6 months, fire, 6 months, cold. Now we know the Ramchal, 6 months is fire, and 6 months is snow. You know the Ramchal says, and the Baal Shem Tov says the same thing. He says, how can you have a physical purgatory if there's no body to experience it? It doesn't seem to work. The body is dead. There's no nerve endings. Presumably, there's no nerve endings. The person goes, Shamayim. So, what's the exact deal here? So, the Ramchal says all of these are parables. Whatever we find discussed Gehenna, there's plenty in the Zohar. The Zohar says a lot about it. He talks quite a bit about it. So, we're all talking about different levels of embarrassment and shame, which in the next world are so debilitating that it takes a year to get over it. If you're wicked, and you're, even if you make it to the level of Gehenna, whatever that means all of your illusions from this world, you already were done with by the end. You weren't in a delusionary state. If you were in a delusionary state here, if you were in a place, a person was in these, he's not living in reality. He's, he has like imaginary world, and that's where he is. That's a lot of people, unfortunately. So you have to like sort of work that off by doing what you were doing in the imaginary world here. Doing what I was doing in the imaginary world here, in other words, the next world, in his imagination. That's why someone was with the Rebbe, so he said, how do I know now I'm not in this place called Olam HaTov? How do I know now that I'm not just in my fantasy world, that I'm not already dead? He said, you can't get stuck in Olam HaTov. You can never give a good charity. If you see giving someone who's asking for help, it's not for what's obviously a wicked cause. He said, it can't be your Olam HaTov. That's what the Rebbe said. So
you can't give charity?
That's what the Rebbe said. Charity doesn't work.
So if you're in a fantasy world here, like watching TV or something like that, and then you die, then you go to another world?
Okay, it's like this. You have to work off the, this is already not so much as no, but it's going to come up, so it's good to know. We have to work out, I need to work out exactly how and how I ended up where I was and where I ended up. Those are two things that have to be worked out. The reason why, you see, people don't realize this. We come to the world and one guy, from when he's the tiniest age, he's dying to take the drink. Alcohol makes him thrill. Another guy has terribly wild temper, it breaks things, he moves it offhand to do anything. A third person is so lazy, he cannot move for any reason, nothing. Another guy, he worships money. It's like from when he's three, he's like saving things up, you know, that's him. And everyone is, so we don't realize that what happened in earlier lifetimes, that's like we're hitting here. And what happened in earlier lifetime, we have to repeat that here and then fix it. That's usually how things work. Maybe in a different way, in a different manner, but that's just the way it is. So, what that means is that if I continued my pattern and I didn't fix myself enough so that I'm living with God the way I should, so what really wakes up in the next world, what really experiences the next world right now is the humility, the shiftless, the real me, the real person. Not in some imaginary, I don't know what exactly, some kind of superhero for some kind of a loser for others, or both, I don't know, everyone is different. That's not what, that's really not, it's a shell that has to be broken through. And the way one breaks through that shell is by experiencing it in this special place called Olam HaTov, which means the world of chaos. Mm-hmm. World of chaos. When he's through, everyone wonders at it. It's a wonder. Tov, what is this, right? When he's through with that, then he can move on to judgment and whatever else. So it takes time until, you know, it also depends on different things in terms of what he was doing earlier lifetimes also. How long can it take? It can take a long time. There's one guy who was many years in this crazy place. He didn't know.
I mean, so how do we know that we're not in the crazy place? Well, actually, we are in the crazy place.
Well, there are different kind of crazy places. That's the story. That's what Renaman
said. It is this place.
That's what Renaman said. Exactly. Renaman said, you give tzedakah, for sure you're not there. Because you cannot give charity in this world. Unless it's to an evil thing. Presumably, if you're giving something that's going to go for bad, for sure, that's may presumably okay. But to give someone, help someone, and you're helping, it doesn't work here. But be kind, she also can't do it, I'm not sure. But, I mean, there are stories and stories. The story with the River Mela, he had a certain person who always went to him, and he was a very simple guy. He was a chassid, but he did everything he was supposed to do in the Torah, but he wasn't really so, he didn't exactly rise to the challenge of life. I mean, he had a hard time making a living, it was a hard life, so he had just a special farm in his place where he had the ability to raise cows. It's not exactly what it was, but he couldn't farm well, he'd raise cows. He had a herd, whatever he had, and he was dealing with his cows. But here there's a very wise man in the gents. So every time the milking machine broke, he went to ask him how to fix it. Literally patiently explained to him what to do, and then he thanked him so much, he had a blessing, he left. So he's in this Olamato, and everything's the same old, you know, the cows, and there's, I guess, no opportunity to suck him, no one needs any money, fine, great, great, great. And then his machine breaks. Eventually it breaks. So he said, I have to go to the Rebbe. So they're making excuses. No, what's this ribbon to do? We'll find another way. We'll find a machine. We'll this, we'll that. He's like, I don't know nothing. I did one thing. I don't buy a machine, just as it were. This machine's been great for me many years. I go to the Rebbe. He says, buy a machine. I'll buy a machine. Not. I don't care. I'll go to the Rebbe. So eventually, he's very determined. They're fighting with him, and they're anything he can do trying to prevent him. He said, I'll go to the Rebbe no matter what. My last breath. So they're like, well, you should know that actually you're dead. And you're going through this place on the toe, so forget about going to the Rebbe. He said, now I'm for sure going to the Rebbe. Now I'm for sure going to the Rebbe. So he got there and he got a ticket, because he went all the time. You know, there's a story of Nustin who once went to a certain, I forgot which town it was, and he had a chassid there, his name was Fireball. They called him Fireball Ashrain. Yeah, because every night he would say chatzot, and then the rest of the night he would dance a lot. He was very happy. Being Ashrei Matov Kokeni was so fortunate and happy with a lot. And Nelson kept his talent, so where's Fivel? So now him, passed away. It was obviously the guy totally looked down on him very much. So Nelson said, listen, you have this Omato, right? You know, you go through this chaos world, what you did in this world. His is going to be chatzot and dancing and singing to God. What's yours? Like, you're so bad, it's okay. Even if he goes there, even if he's not purified enough to get to, just to jump over it. Like, that's who he was. That was his life. He said, why shouldn't you realize the greatness of someone else? That's his whole life. That's his whole geschmack. I mean, I understood a lesson to me. He's not going to go to Matoda. He's not even going to, it's very possible he's not even going to go there. And if he does, so he's a spiritual person. Where are you? What are you doing? Making fun of people, looking down at them? I mean, that doesn't go. It doesn't do anything positive. It's not going to help anyone. That was the that's the first thing. So the Omato, sometimes, you know, we basically have tasks in this world, and the more we're connected to the physical world, the more we have to slowly break through this connection. It's not so specific.
How long are you there? At least a year?
No.
Or less?
It could be any amount. The Rebbe told a story about a certain rabbi who died. He had a big levaya. He saw a levaya, and then he imagined that he woke up and dug himself out of a grave. And a whole story, whole long story. He went to town. He had the chrichim on. He had to change the shrouds. He had this. It was all in his crazy little world, which didn't exist. He was actually dead. He said no. It's like very not simple. This whole anyway. We don't focus on the scary stuff. If we're going to learn the Zohar, there's some scary stuff in there. So it's important to be aware of it. There are different stages, and you know, you got to fix the problems. We have to fix them. And Gehenna and Matoah, all these things are cleansing, ways of cleansing the person. So Gehenna might well be just the shame and the realization of how stupid. You know, he goes to Matoah and it's like, I can't believe that was who I was my whole life. It was smoking, money, I don't know, whatever, who cares, it's all the same. Smoking, my honor. Well, we just go on and on and on. It could be anything, we just keep going on and on. And that's his little, that's who he was. That's who I am. and my main motivator is this. And you know, so we can all say, well, that's not really fair because, you know, God made me this way. I'm physical. And like, yeah, I'm from 5 years old. I feel drawn to X, Y, and Z. So what am I supposed to do? Yeah, as a 5 year old, I had a very developed ego, and I was like, everything's my honor. So what am I supposed to do? Well, that's your job. That's your task. You don't break through it now. So then, one way of softening the difficulty is for the person to realize who really is. Because again, in order to get the reward, in order to connect to God, the reward, the element of the reward is connection. The connection is what creates this element called the reward. You get this wonderful bliss, but you can't experience that as long as you have a little ego. The ego doesn't work. The ego has to be God. And that unhealthy ego. A person healthy and good, only Hashem. And that's really our choice. It's up to us. And generally speaking, we go through lots of fun things in this world to sort of fix us and wake us up a little and help us. It's important to be aware of that there are different stages. And if I'm not going to, you know, if you don't fix the problem, you're going to see the movie again. The kids are, you go to the next world, you go to the same old place, the same old, you're like, when am I going to? And you look back and say, oh my gosh, that could be the whole or the main element of what Gehenna is about. As Aristotle said, whatever it is exactly, we prefer not to go there because it's not a good place. I don't care if it's literal or not literal, it doesn't make much difference because bottom line, you don't want to be there. We prefer not to go there. Rebbe says he'll pull us out by our pace, right? The person who really needs the Rebbe and is doing this for us, is doing this kizik, he's changing, everything's changing for him. And sometimes it takes time. Usually it takes time. You can't expect it to happen in 1 minute or 1 second. And we're all, the more inspired you're supposed to be, the more desperate and hard your life was. And sometimes it takes time to wait that out and to just start to become who you really are supposed to be. So we don't understand how Hashem calculates the world, but in short, Yonah was in this.
It looks like
yeah,
this.
It looks like
you come close to Hashem. You feel your own life, what you did in your life.
But you don't even know. You're experiencing it as a dead person. I don't even know it.
And then afterwards, I look back and I say, I can't believe that was me. And that also builds humility and gets rid of all the crazy illusions and delusions. But it's not fun. It's better to do tshuva and bring God into this world.
That's the better way. I'm a little confused. You said in the world of chaos, you don't know whether you're dead or not?
You don't know.
But I thought that you saw, you know, when you see your Levaya.
No. This rabbi, he saw Levaya, but he thought he wasn't dead. He thought, I woke up. And he climbed as if, but that was all in his mind. That was all in his deluded state, this world. That was the way he got the world. He apparently was refined enough so that he had a chance to figure it out, but he didn't figure it out. But he could have. What does this mean? Where is it? He did figure it out. That was the way it took him, for whatever reason. We don't understand these things. We really don't. That's for sure. We don't get it. We don't understand it. Yeah, but the main thing is to work with Gaiva. That is very hard. It's very hard to work on Gaiva. Because the more you do, usually the more I do, the better I get, right? But Gaiva, the more I do, the more distinguished I feel. Rabbi Nachman said that the way you work with Gaiva, one of the stories I like many, is that, how do I work with Gaiva? He says, work with Gaiva by davening, by praying for your friend. So Rabbi Yudel was there, he said, what do you mean? If I pray for my friend, it helps him. I'm the Rebbe, I did it, I'm there. Rabbi Nachman says that the Tzahara has a little trick. He likes to give a person, he can do even a miracle. To do anything. Yeah, you say they'll get better. You dominate, they get better. It works, but you did. It was your pull. You feel it. Everyone knows it even. Just to make you fall to nowhere. So now you feel, Rebbe, now goodbye and good riddance. Finished it. Do your mo face and you're done. But so Rabbi Yudel said, what do you mean? Why would I feel more arrogant if I helped you? Well, this shouldn't help. Prayer you can also misuse and feel great for doing it. So Rebbe said, you have to have the right perspective of how you pray. So I'll tell you the perspective of how you pray. And there are actually a few versions of the story. I'll tell the version that I prefer, but there are several versions.
Is this the story written down?
Yeah. It's in Kul Satsadik for sure, and it's in different Chaim Moran. I'm not sure if it's in our Chaim Moran. I didn't have time to check. I was learning it, but it's in several versions of Chaim Aran. It probably is in ours also, I just don't remember. But it's in a book called Pulis Atzari Kishur, and it's brought down there. I said there are Natalia's versions, different versions, and there are different things it says there, I think, but I think there are minor changes. But anyway, one way or the other way, the basic premise is the Rebbe said that once there was a prince, this prince did things his father didn't like, and his father got angry at him, and come on, he said, I'm sorry, and he appeased me. Okay, you appeased me, thank you, fine. Then he began again. His father's like, what's going to be? We have a vicious cycle here. He's going to keep on learning that whatever I do is okay. Dad's a good guy. He'll forgive me. I'm a prince, after all. That's not tapas. That's not what it should be. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. It's something very simple. I have a good idea. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to appoint one of the officers of the court to make sure he doesn't see me. He's just not going to get him to see me. He's going to make sure that he will put the guards in place and he's just finished, you know, and he won't regain his privileges. He won't be able to be in my presence. And that's it. I have enough. Come on, this is how you act. So, this minister, that's what he did. Put the guards in place, make sure the king could not be approached. So the minute the prince was like, my father must have calmed down, couldn't get him. Couldn't say anything to him, couldn't ask anything, couldn't do anything. But very snobby. So the minister felt really bad for the prince, but he can't let him be the king. That's his job, he's not allowed to lie. You can't just countermand orders from the king. You have to do what you're supposed to do. And he realized the king was also obviously suffering. It's like a long time. And the prince is not coming in. So he started to think a little more deeply. And he said, the king would not have put into place a system where there's no healing. He's going to suffer and sound like for the rest of their life. That doesn't make any sense. He said, it must be that he means for me to make the effort to appease the between the two. And he went to the king, explained how much his son is suffering, he hadn't seen him, whatever. And the king right away forgave him. So the Rebbe said, that's how you realize, if you understand that the world was created for you, like the Gemara says, the world was created for me, he said, and therefore I'm responsible for all the parts of the world. You see your friend, he misses stuff. So you say, I am holding him back. So maybe he did things too. It's a beautiful muscle, because maybe he did things also. It's not that he didn't do things wrong. He also did stupid things, but really, bottom line is, I'm the one, my problem is what's not allowing him to get what he's supposed to get. I did it. So, I can't get into it. He can't get into the king. His prayer's not working. So my prayer can appease the king. He says, so you won't feel any big arrogance, because it's your problem. If Hashem solved the problem for you, it's because he was kind. You were messing your up. That's what the Rebbe said. So, everyone is... Gaiva is a hard thing to deal with. And Gaiva is our biggest problem. Every single thing we do wrong is all Gaiva. It's all arrogance. It's clearly so. If you're really open to Hashem in your life, and you just turn to Hashem, and you turn to Hashem and say, I'm sorry, Hashem, and you just cry, it's all going to be fine. It's all no problem. We don't feel the way because we're so full of ourselves. Me. It's you. It's you. Okay. So basically, Yona had a plan. He decided, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying. I'm running away from my soul. I'm not going to come in by anything. And Hashem threw him in the sea. He said, no. Hashem threw him in the sea. Then Noach is the same thing. Really, Noach, I really love the home. I don't get to the desires. But Noach is a very, very beautiful posture of the quotes. Every one of us is living like Parshas Noach. The message says all the confusing thoughts a person goes through, that's the mandal. That's the flood. It doesn't let us think. It doesn't let us so worried, I'm so afraid, he did this, he didn't do this, I messed up, I wanted this, I wanted that, and just everything is like, this has got the hot water and the cold water, all the good stuff, he's boiling, he's petrified, what do I do? It's like, we have to learn how to be calm and relaxed, we're going to say, okay, what was, I have to keep my Yishuv HaDas, keep calm. No reason to get upset. Rebbe said, just don't be afraid.
It's like the act or words means your confusion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going, yeah, either you're fire, you're ashamed, you're humiliated, you're angry, you're jealous, all this nice stuff, all this nice little emotions. You're so riled up. And then you have the petrified and fearful, worried, depressed, aesthetic, all these nice things that we go through. So this was that. And then the next day, well, that was really dumb. It wasn't what I thought. It wasn't a big deal. And it's like the Basin of Rum says, there was a certain general who was planning a whole war and doing very well, told his enemy, did such a beautiful move that they really, I mean, they devastated his troops. He wasn't finished yet, but it was close. He was in big trouble. And he was just sitting there, he couldn't believe he was devastated. So his wife was with him in the battlefield, or wherever he was planning, whatever it was. And she said, I have worse news than that. Worse news than this? Yes! You're allowing it to affect you, and you're stymied, and you're petrified, you're paralyzed, and you're not going to get anything done now. Any chance to win, you're losing now. Because you're a brilliant tactician, and maybe you can get out of it. But if you take it so seriously, you can't do anything. So you won't do anything. So that's worse than the problem. The problem's a problem. Taking that way is horrible. It's terrible. That's what the base of Rum is. That's all of us, the same thing. So that's Noach. Noach is this Bechina. We're all being tossed around by life. We have to create this table. The table is Hashem. Speaking the truth with Hashem. Being with Hashem, bringing Hashem into my life, and suddenly I'm enveloped and I'm with Hashem. That's what it is. That's all. And the Baal Shem Tov says, Teva also means word. When you connect to the words of Torah and Tefillah, you really do put your whole self into it. When I do that, it's all okay. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm not, I don't become any more in control of my life. I don't become, nothing changes. My Shem Tov says it don't change. I don't win the lottery. Because I'm looking for Hashem. I don't find, usually most people, Rav Zonnikov, the story is a great tzaddikim that had this, I don't know, they had unbelievable kofos, they had very amazing things. That says, there is nothing, you look to Hashem, also you create this protective place, you get wonderful and prominent, all these great things happen. The story of this Pat Zonnikov, someone came to me, he's definitely needed money, he was really serious. And they had no money, and you should get that zero, they had nothing. So a lot of folks, you really need the money. Alright, I'm going to try to help you out. Come, let's go. So they started to go, they started to walk. And they're walking, and they're walking, they start scrambling, walking here, and they see a gold Napoleon on the floor. A Napoleon, a very big coin. Wow, that's a lot of money. So this guy's like, wow, what a, so serendipitous. He's like, how did you know we'd find money? Like, well, we're just taking this hour walk. This is what happens to me all the time. When I need money, it's like incredible. Like that's like one of the people I get. So, most of us though, it doesn't help. It helps though, with yourself and it brings. It does. It doesn't help to just to go so afraid. So be so or not afraid. Now I'm not afraid. Now it's like I have a bad. Not afraid. It doesn't work that way. But you're with Hashem and you're not suffering from the burning and the frost of Gehenna Shalesh and Gehenna Shalesh. Rav Nosson says the Gehenna of fire and the Gehenna of snow is in this world too. So fire is when a person feels the fire of, and all these nice things. It's the Gehenna. He gets all types of Gehenna. And then the snow is when a person lets his appetite not to let him do even what he could have done, what he should be doing. He can't move, he can't eat, he's paralyzed. So you're in snow. You get it here too. Where we said it's, this world is Gehenna. I don't know where Olam Hazeh is. The material world doesn't seem to me to be it seems to be a very elusive place. This world is the Gehenna. Don't get through one to go through another one. Just finish here and you're done. That's what we're yearning for, our entire hearts. Okay. Sounds like King of Yonah. Now, Noah was a little bit afraid. Why did Noach daven for his generation? He was very, very afraid. This is another thing that beautiful the Zohar says. So Noach was petrified. He was scared. Hashem said, okay, I'll take care of you and yours. Now, what's Noach supposed to say? No, stay then, so then he has no deal. So he has to go to sacrifice himself. And Moshe said, so, originally I don't care. No problem. I'm not so. So it's a different situation. But Noach wasn't willing to, it's like a big, a lot of chutzpah. So I'll die, okay. It's a very big, it's nefesh. Die for these sinners, like why should I die? And he's telling him every day, return, but his return was not really, it wasn't real, it wasn't real enough. He wasn't able to reach them in a way that they understood it. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. We don't understand. That's what Zohar says about Noach. says he was a foolish shepherd. Foolish shepherd. Maya Shakti. Why didn't you ask Hashem when you had the chance? Now you come out of the table and you say, oh no, what do you mean? What do you think this is?
You see, he was speaking to Noah as the actual Noah in 20 years. People saw it. They asked him, what were you doing? Nobody.
But he was against everyone though. Like he was in a different class. He didn't bring himself down to other people, he wasn't holding by
Noah.
And no, not Manuach. He was with Hashem, Manuchim, Shabbos. He was on a very high level. Other, he was a very great level. He was a grandson of Mitzushalach, right? His grandfather was the ultimate Kedusha, and that's who he was. So, yeah. Two of his children continued in their pathway, Shem and Asher. That was the Mahalach. Mitzushalach had the power to just staying power, hold on to be who he was. No matter what everyone else is doing, you have like to sort of separate yourself from everyone else. Inside, very strong, very powerful way. And Noach did that, but it's very hard to tell him, well, go sacrifice for them.
Sometimes you can't sit for something because you don't attach to him.
Yeah,
like you close it. You close it because maybe you can't influence it.
Yeah, but he's afraid. Mm-hmm. It's true, it's very not simple. It's very not simple how to deal with them. Rav Nassim talks about it very beautifully. He said, when you go to business, you're supposed to be thinking, how can I help this person come a little closer to Hashem? He said, now there's some people who you can't talk to them in spiritual matters to them. They're not receptive, you're just going to bother them. So these people you have to have in mind that you're yearning to serve Hashem and you're yearning to bring this person to serve Hashem. So when you do business, that's the main element of doing business. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's why the Rebbe says that when you do business with Emunah, when you do business faithfully, that's the expression of the Hatulech Kamocha. You love your neighbor as yourself, and that's the whole Torah is loving you as yourself. But the fear of Nassim, it's very interesting. The fear of Nassim, it comes out that the Hatulech Kamocha, you're all supposed to be working with him in a spiritual way, like picking him up, like lifting. It's a very, very beautiful idea, this concept of like, you're supposed to go through the shuk. You're not supposed to think about the tomatoes so much. You're supposed to think about the person selling tomatoes. How can I bring him closer to Hashem? Mm-hmm. And if you can't, you say, I can't. He's grouchy. He's grumpy. He's busy now with people. He's just going to say, go out of my face. So he's supposed to yearn. It's an incredible thing. You look at that and you're like, where am I? Wait, it's not a shekel kilo. I not totally forgot the. Who cares about him? Who cares about? I don't care. I just with money. Like, where are you? Where are you? You have a very big avoda. So you look at that and you just sound it.
Sometimes you go shopping, but you won't only buy it. You're only investing to.
Yeah, forget it. You don't even think about it. It's like no, you have a whole big job ahead. Your job, you put them in the fire of your room, you pick up the sparks by.
This was the difference between Noah and Abraham. Uh-huh. Abraham was always clean. It was not investing in the tomatoes.
That's right. That's what the Zohar says. Zohar says a striking thing. The Zohar says, why didn't Abraham ask about stone less than 10 people? He says, Abraham asked, and he would have asked about anything. So why did he ask about less than 10 people? He said, because he thought Lot and his whole family were all righteous, and there were 10 people. So he said 10, Hashem said, oh, you don't ask more, fine. But he would have asked, he just didn't know. But I was like, it's not. So I'm not an idiot, I don't care. Very, the Mr. Snepshah said, it's like unbelievable. Who is he asking for? Stone and Amor are the worst people. Doesn't matter. God's creations, try to help them. It's like unbelievable. Very beautiful. The Zohar really goes from the sleep. Always does. Very, very powerful.
And the sense of difference between Tzadik and regular person. Tzadik and you start to talk with the person, go to this. Listen, you put this in the level for this person. To come closer to them.
We have to all learn how to do that. We have to all learn how to do that. Tzadik, it's hard for him. For us regular people, we just need to be a little less selfish. But like Tzadikim, he's like, the Rebbe tells a story about a certain person who got a guest. This guest came here, knocked on the door. He said, let me take you somewhere, I think it was, if I'm not remembering right, also kind of on. And suddenly he's like, flying through the heavens. And he looks, he sees he's down, talking to his guest and helping the party, whatever, and he's like, he's flying. You know, the way I understood that, it seems pretty obvious is that we're all supposed to be there. That's what Tzadikim, they're like somewhere in Matzilus or somewhere else. And then he's like, you know, loving. For him, it's very hard, but if you're here anyway, if I'm here anyway, why shouldn't I feel what's holding me back? Whatever it is, has to go. It's not positive, it's not what it's supposed to be. So, I'm supposed to do Muksa. I guess we'll just continue with the Zohar or whatever else, because I have to. I anyway didn't print it up. Maybe I'll send to you your email. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, I'll have it.
And the word Hashem so high, and it's mentioned that first the birds die, and then the end, the human beings. So it means they climb the highest point. Remember? Or when they make Shiva, Hashem stopped mainly the. But nobody makes Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
The world wasn't
willing.
Why? The soul.
Everyone makes this stupid thing. The Zohar says they had the power to shut off. They were like, what's the big deal? If it rains, we'll just make protection, we'll find a way to, we'll stop up from the supposed to come from the earth. Hot water, right? And cold. We'll stop it up. So they tried to stop it up, but it came so hot, it just burned out. They didn't realize, they thought they had the power, they thought this. Someone thinks they know. Hashem said, if you want to dissolve the world that I made, just put it in a different reconstitute it. So we'll get rid of it all. Go back to water. No problem. We can go back to water. And start again. Okay. Maybe we'll learn a little more Kiddush at the Sefer.